Get your Bibles out tonight. And before we get into Joshua chapter 9, I just want to ask a quick question. Side note, really doesn't have much to do with the message at all. I'm sure given a few moments, we could tie it all in. But what brought you to church? Like, how'd you come here? Not so much the circumstances behind that, but who or what? What got you here? Brother Primer, what got you into church? Yeah. Who did someone invite you? Did someone, like, I started going to church when my neighbor invited us to church. How did you pick the church that you went to?
A lot of looking and studying.
Okay.
The church that we started in wasn't quite taking the
lead. Yeah.
And we thought we were okay.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And after a while, we ended up at Justin Baptist Church.
Hmm. This is in Virginia? Maryland, all right.
And then that's where we knew that was the right church.
Okay, so it was just by visiting, just like trying different ones, see if they laid up. Oh, gotcha. I'm like, who are you pointing at? Yeah, I got it. Okay. They did a little recon mission for you. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Roger? Yeah.
That's a cool friend.
Yeah.
So it just was a different environment than I was used to.
A friend.
Yeah, a friend brought me to church. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ashley, I'm sorry?
You told me all about it.
That's good. Ashley, bus ministry, right? Brother Bennett knocking at your family's door. And yeah, how great. Great. Nate?
Mom.
We can put that in the category of family, all right? Very good. Karen, how about you?
My sister brought me to church shortly after she got saved and had a
Okay. That's good. Yeah. That's great. Mrs. Faulkner, what originally got you to church? The short version. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to put my notes aside for tonight. Maybe we'll come back to that. I sent out a message and all this stuff of, hey, get to church tonight, huge help, all that. Go ahead. Yeah. How did he know that?
I don't know. Somebody at work.
Okay.
And so I started going when Jimmy was little.
Yeah.
First Bible. And then I became to know Mama Duck and their little puppets because I had
Yeah, sure.
And when Elizabeth was 6 months old, we had six children. And my children did not want to go to the Easter Club. They didn't want to go to children's church. The church mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It had changed.
Yeah.
And so my husband was fire chief. And long story short, they really gave me a problem, and they were too young to leave home alone. And he was like, "You can leave him home."
Yeah.
And so I fasted and prayed 3 days and 3 nights, and the Lord put 3 people in my path each day when I was out and about, 3 different women.
Wow.
2 that had visited Walker,
Yeah. Wonderful. We're so glad you are. Praise the Lord. Yeah. She sat in on our new member class. And I'm like, hey, Mrs. Faulkner, how are you? She's like, I don't know where I'm at. I said, I can tell. And so she kind of sat in. Yeah, you did great. You did great. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord for this church.
Amen.
And the way the Lord has blessed.
Yeah.
And provided
for us. Amen. Brother Parrott, could we do this? Instead of stories, could you just like a family member, a friend, a coworker, the bus, random, I just walked through the door and Holy Spirit smote my heart and just... Yeah, we would love to hear the whole story. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Got saved. We were going there. I was in college. And they were concerned about me. I kind of messed up. And so Pastor Wildish came over.
Yeah.
We had a long Bible discussion.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Lord just worked on my heart.
Yeah. Would you say your family then brought you to church? Yeah. All right. Mrs. Parrott? Yeah.
When I was in high school, the girl that sat across the aisle from me in algebra asked me to come to her youth activity. And so I did, and then I started going to church with her, and then I got saved. And then a couple weeks later, my sister got saved, and we just kind of kept going.
That's wonderful. So, could we say a friend?
Pardon?
A friend?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Great. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get over here. No, I don't want a story. Your stories have stories. I can't even. How about this? How many of you would say, we're just going to do a poll. How many of you would say, I came to church because of a family member? Anybody like that? All right, hands all over the place. I came to church because a friend invited me. Hands, good. Coworker, it could be the same, coworkers. All right, good. We have bus ministry, something similar to that. How, any bus kids here? All right, Brother Calpe?
Yeah. From Asia, a bus kid and missionary.
Wonderful, wonderful. Other than those main ones, how about just a random knock at your door and said, why don't you come to church with me? Anybody like that? That was you?
That was how my parents got to church.
That's how your parents got to church, but you were through your family. No. And it's not that I don't want to hear these stories, but I do want to make a point. I am 100% in favor of going door to door and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we should. I think we take the scriptures and go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. And we run a bus ministry. And I think God is pleased with all of that. That's why we invest. That's why this weekend we're investing in putting John and Romans together. That's why we're going to take them and deliver them to every single door in our neighborhood. Because I believe the word of God is powerful and God can do mighty things. But through the testimony of you all, it took a relationship.
Yep.
And I'm just asking, we have Friend Day coming up. And I wonder who you're in their life for that very moment. Because someone invited you. Or someone invited your, again, you came because maybe your family came, but maybe they came because of a coworker or invitation or something like that. Somehow there was a connection. I'm telling you, I know it. I'm not going apostate. Please. Every Saturday morning, we're out telling people about Jesus. We go door to door. But churches are built by relationships.
Yep.
And I think it's good, and I think people can get saved. And Brother Van, you keep doing what you're doing on the street. I'm not saying we stop street preaching and going door to door and all of that. But do you see? If we went around and we all had time, that's what heaven is. We'll tell our story there. But if we had time tonight, everyone's story would be similar to that. My parents brought me to church. My sister brought me to church. My friend brought me to church. My coworker brought me to church. Why? How did they have? Because they had influence in your life. Now we go door to door and we invite people to church. But you are surrounded by the people that God wants you to influence each and every day. Quickly, Joshua chapter 9. That was not supposed to take that long, but I'm glad it did. I think that maybe it was a help to you. We're going to shorten this up just a little bit. Because I want to be a blessing to you and a help to you, because I feel like the Lord laid this on my heart for you, but I can cut some of the background story out and just take my word for it if you'd like. But Joshua chapter number 9, Joshua and the nation of Israel has already had some conquest. They've taken over some cities. They've done some mighty things through the hand of God, and the Gibeons get word of it. And they're a little shady at best. And they come and they appeal to the nation of Israel in their pride. In verse 8, they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are you? Who are ye? And from whence come ye?" And they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt." And they go on to talk about those things. And here they're appealing to the nation of Israel and Joshua himself. Now, we've saw something very similar when Rahab spoke to the spies, and we saw that, I think it was on Sunday, about that, where she said, "Hey, I heard about what happened here," but the approach is a little bit different. If you look back in the passage, they dress themselves in a way that presents himself in a way that is deceptive. And in Joshua chapter number 9 and verse 12, they say this group of people, "This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day that we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy, and these bottles of wine which are filled were new, and behold, they be rent." They grabbed old stuff. They're wearing old shoes. They put them on purpose. They dress themselves in these sacks, it says, and took old sacks and old clothes and old shoes, old garments and bad bread, and there they are. And can you imagine the scene, right? Here's the nation of Israel who's just rolling through places because of God's blessing, and then there's this refugee camp, if you will, that show up on the outskirts and say, "Hey, can you help us? We heard about the great things that God has done." They've painted their faces and made themselves look dirty and messy, and they're appealing to the pride of Israel, and they're, "Hey, God has done such great things. We just want to be thy servants." And Joshua looks at them, and he makes a decision based on what he sees. And he makes a mistake that I believe so many believers make each and every single day. And I just wanted to warn you here tonight, because it's a very common problem with a very simple solution. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 9 and verse 14, "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." Joshua looks at this group of people and he just makes a decision on what he thought best. And I thought, how many times do I do that? It just seems obvious. I mean, here you got a group of people. They got tattered shoes and bad clothes and moldy bread, and they're just saying they just want to serve the God of heaven. It's just an obvious decision. Little did Joshua know there was more to it. And had he asked God, I wonder how many times in our life we've evaluated a situation based on what it looks to us. And one of the greatest errors we make as Christians is failing to ask God what He thinks about circumstances. Because now we're making judgments based on what you and I see. Again, if you were faced with this situation, you probably would have done very similar. Your heart would have broken. There, they're probably holding little children that look tired and you just want to be a help, and they make this league. They make this commitment to them. Why do we do it? Why do we go throughout life? Why do we go throughout our, not even life, how about this? Why do we go throughout our day and not even ask God, God, what do you think about this? I know what it looks really obvious to me. But Lord, what do you think? Is it because we just don't trust Him? Or is it because we just think we know better? Why did Joshua do that? He's not the only one. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10. No, he's not the only one. He's included in every one, may I say. Anybody guilty of doing that? Sure. And you know what? Then he had a problem on his hands. Because he simply just didn't ask God. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, look at verse 13. So Saul died. Who's Saul? The king of Israel, right? So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Saul, instead of asking God, what do you think? He went to this witch. Now that story in itself is its own story. But how oftentimes, I'm not saying you have the tarot cards out, a Ouija board, and you're calling up the local witch and saying, hey, I need some insight into this. But how many times do we, instead of going to the Lord, go anywhere else? Hey, let me run a situation by you real quick. Hey, what do you think about, and you know what, you're asking someone. Now, I think I'll preach all day. There's safety in counsel, wise counsel. But the wisest of counsel will point everybody back to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His Word. But be careful that you fail to ask the Lord what He thinks. Because otherwise, it's just you and I evaluating a situation, and I can only see it so much. Best thing you can do for your kids is to talk to God with them. Hey, Dad, what do you think about this? Hey, Mom, what do you think about this? And we can tell what we think about it, but the best thing would be, hey, how about we ask God together about this? I'll tell you what I think. Here's some of my experiences, but how about this? How about we ask God? How oftentimes do you and I fail to make one of the greatest mistakes each and every day in making judgments based on what we see rather than on what God wants? Not only that, but he inquired of the wrong counselor. Say, what's the problem with all of this? Well, now Joshua is associated with the wrong crowd. He's got a group of people that are not supposed to be with him. He was paired with a group that the Lord never intended him to be with. And so it will be with you. Be careful. Be careful. You don't ask God what he thinks. All of a sudden you're going to find yourself in a situation. How on earth did I get here? Oh yeah, I remember. I didn't ask God. And now I got myself in a situation. I'm telling you, it'd be so much easier to just ask. If you're still in 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, Saul loses a battle with the enemy simply because he didn't ask God what he thought. Now you and I, I'm not, I have no access to swords. I'm not on the front line of a physical battle. But spiritually speaking, we fight battles against our flesh each and every day. Those are battles. Listen, listen, church. Those are battles you don't want to lose. You better not go to the wrong council. If someone's leading you contrary to the Word of God, you're going to be in a world of trouble. Well, you don't understand my situation. Be careful. Be careful that you not ask God. God, what do you think about this? You'll end up losing. You'll end up losing battles to your own flesh. Was it Brother Cox here Sunday night? He said to him, we probably don't even fight the devil himself. Our battle's with our own self-will. See, when we ask God, when we fail to talk to the Lord about us, you know what we do? We lose those battles against the flesh. I was praying tonight over that list, and as I looked at the list before I even prayed, I just kind of asked the Lord, Lord, why are these things so? One of the greatest enemies of all mankind is pride. And I think a lot of those things on our prayer list are very humbling. I don't think you can do wrong by humbling yourself before God. But when we say, God, you know what? I'll let you know when I need you. I know what's right. That's what Joshua thought. He looked at something and thought, oh, I know what's right. Failing to ask God what he thinks. The great thing about this is that it is completely avoidable. Why? Because if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. He holds back. I want you to see Ezra. Look at Ezra. Say, where's Ezra? Right before Nehemiah. Does that help? Ezra, Nehemiah. Ezra, chapter number 8, and verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. I don't think God would be upset if we took some time and said, God, you know what? I have some resources that have been equipped to me, like my family, like our things. And you know what? Before I go any further in life, I just want to know what you think about all this. I'm going to spend some time talking with God and fasting and just getting alone with the Lord and asking him what he thinks about our home. And which way he wants us to go. Have you done that? Well, I know what's best. Oh, no, you don't. Completely preventative. Simply by asking God and doing what he tells you to do. And in that, there's victory. I just want to show you two verses here. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Probably didn't, maybe you caught it, maybe you didn't, but in 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, when we saw Saul, do you remember who he was fighting when he lost? It was the Philistines. The Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. What made David so special? I'll show you. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse 7, and David said unto Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. You know what? It seemed obvious what to do, but David said, you know what, before I go forward, I just want to ask the Lord. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 5. It wasn't the army that they were against that killed Saul and Jonathan. It was their lack of asking God. 2 Samuel chapter number 5 and verse 19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, and I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. The difference between a win and a loss to the, against the same people was one asked God, is this what you want me to do? And it allowed God to lead us. The sheep don't lead the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. One of the things that made David so unique was the many times he would seek direction from the Lord in any decision. And Joshua and the men asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And I thought, wow, I do that all too often. It's just some decisions just seem obvious. Then all of a sudden I wonder, how did I get here? Oh yeah, I forgot to ask the Lord for direction. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like Joshua. Maybe you're like Saul. It's easy to overcome this so easily mistaken choice. Simply ask the Lord, God, what do you think? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for what you've done in our life. God, I pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us. And Lord, we truly do not want to take a step without your blessing, your direction, your guidance. And all too often, we make way too many decisions without ever asking you what you think. We find ourselves in a spot we ought not to be. Lord, I pray you'd give us wisdom, give us the courage, give us the trust, the faith to just believe you. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.